mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think we'll stop there. So as Paul has looked at chapter 1 through 11 and thinking of the condition of man, fallen in sin, going away from God, a man loving the creation more than the Creator, judging other people but not judging himself, looking at the fallenness of man and that there's none good, not one. He comes on through and shows us what through and by faith God has done for us through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us, you know, shall we go on in sin? God forbid, he says. Do we have a wrestling match, chapter 7? I believe that we do, between even the Apostle Paul as a saved man. I believe you can see through that chapter the transformation, the change that's taken place in his life. And you know, though there's a wrestling match, if we are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. He's going to tell us that the work of God, the word of God has not failed. God has saved those that he intended to save. You know, I can't cover all 11 chapters, but at the end of it, he says this, by the mercies of God, God help us. I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, brethren, and you know, that's of utter importance. You know, verse number 3, I believe is used lots of times to say, well, God's given every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith for salvation? That's certainly not the context of this scripture. The measure of faith is that we would live in a right manner after we're saved. The letter, and especially this chapter, is to brethren. So let's think about that. Paul is talking to the saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, can we think of where we have come from, that you and I, by the mercies of God, we have been brought into the family. By the mercy of God, the long-suffering and the grace of God, if you're saved today, then Paul says, there's something that I would like to see. There's something that ought to be done because of the work of God, the mercy of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is saying this, and you know, I might present a lamb under the Old Testament. You might bring a lamb. I might buy one from Chris. I might buy one from Vaughn. I didn't even raise it, but I could bring it, present it to God as a sacrifice. You know, there's nobody can present me but me. Nobody can present you but you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself. You know, the Lord Jesus presented himself as a living sacrifice before God, and he presented himself a living sacrifice that was killed. That you and I would not be killed, but that we could be presented unto God as a living sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice to be given, no other offering to be offered. Jesus Christ offered himself once and forever and sat down on the right hand side of God the Father. His offering was made His offering was made and it was accepted with God. But through him, you and I can offer ourselves a body, a living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, that you yourself, that you would dedicate yourself. How much of you? The whole, right? The whole. You know, we might look at the offering that was made at the altar with the lamb, and the priest might got a part of it. Part of it might have went on the burnt altar. Part of it may have been thrown out in the refuge. Part of it may have been burnt for God. But he's asking us to present ourselves wholly, completely, our whole body. And I believe really you could go beyond that. I believe that you could talk about the whole body of the man. And as Paul said in Thessalonians, that he might present us one day, all of us, body, soul, and spirit. Would you think that Paul is talking about us being a complete living sacrifice to God, with all, with body, with mind, with soul, with spirit, with life, with a submission, with the whole man? I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what is this sacrifice? I believe you could say this, that it was an offering that was given unto God. Now, I don't need to offer a sin offering. Jesus has offered himself as a sin offering. But could I offer myself unto God as a vessel for the master's use? Could I offer myself as a body to worship and to honor and to adore the Lord? Could I offer myself as an offering unto God that I might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You know, as Paul is writing this, your body is a living sacrifice, holy. I believe he's saying without blemish, acceptable. So I believe he's saying there, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the lamb, the goat, the bullock, the turtle dove had no reasoning whatsoever. But you and I have reasoning, don't we? You and I, if I look back at 11 chapters of what God has done, what's he asking me to do? Paul is saying in reflection, in thinking, in reasoning of what God has done, these 11 chapters, I'm going to tell you what God has done for you. Would you now be willing to offer yourself as a living sacrifice unto God? You don't have to die for your sin, but would you put your sin away and live in a manner that would be acceptable, well-pleasing unto God? I believe that he's saying this. We'll get into it in the next verse. He's not talking about, and I don't really know where Anthony taught this morning, but I know that through what he's been teaching, that he's talking about getting the inward man in line with the outward man. That the outward man, I believe that we can go through a ritual and never have the heart or the reasoning or the thinking or the spirit or the soul involved. Don't you think that's true? Were the Jews not doing that? Did they not have the outward man in conformity, but there was no desire inwardly to really live for God, was there? Their desire was to impress other people. God, Paul is saying to us, who should I desire to impress? And I don't mean that I'm going to impress God, but could I offer a sacrifice that well pleases God? That's what he's after. He's after a sacrifice that is well pleasing to God. So, which is holy, without blemish, where can that take place? Well, I'll say this. I believe the priest looked at the outside to start with. If it had a broken leg, you could tell that from the outside, couldn't you? But you know, if there was something wrong on the inside when he opened it up, when he filleted it out, when he looked on the inside, if it was full of parasites, you reckon he accepted it? I don't believe he did. So God is looking on not only on the outside, but God is looking on the inside. As that priest opened that up and made that offering unto God by blood and by particular parts that he put on the altar, and maybe a part that was burned on the altar of a burnt offering, and a part that was put on the altar for sweet incense unto God. Friend, as God looks at us, can he find that we're holy on the inside? Are we holy on the inside? Are we separated on the inside? Are we well-pleasing unto God on the inside? You know, I can put on a show on the outside and be filthy on the inside. Isn't that true? I believe that's true for all of mankind. And let me tell you this, that what God is looking at is not what is relative to the world we're looking at. The world that we live in today, friend, is continually changing what is acceptable. The world is continually changing what they think is good and well-pleasing and acceptable. It is on a continual roller coaster. And most of the time, and I believe by the word of God, if it's of the flesh, it is continually in opposition to what God says. The flesh is enmity against God. Let's look at verse number 2. This is what I'd like to think about. Conformed or transformed? Conformed or transformed? Now, is there a world desiring to conform us? Absolutely. And we're in the midst of it every day. And our outward nature is to fall in line with that. It is. It starts, you know, depending on how much your children are exposed, it can start before preschool or kindergarten. But the pressure just goes up from there to conform to the world that we're in. So a couple of definitions. So conformed means this, to identify with outwardly. The outward shape, the same pattern, the mold, the fashion of oneself. You know, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 14, Peter said this. Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance. You know what we were before we were saved? Our lifestyle was fashioned to the world, wasn't it? It was fashioned to our friends, to our family, to the lost world that we were in the midst of. Paul is saying, be you not conformed, be you not fashioned like the world that you're in the midst of. The world would like to put you into its mold, and the world will mold you. I believe this, unless there is a work of God done on the inside, you will constantly be molded and you will naturally yield to the mold of the world. Whether it be in talk, whether it be in dress, whether it be in vocabulary, whether it be in honestly in our thinking. Our thinking is influenced by the world, and there is a continual brainwashing, friend, and I don't mean that literally in every sense, But I believe that in the sense of turning us away from God, turning us away from the Word of God, turning us away from what is right, there is a continual brainwashing. There are people, ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it or not, all over our world that are in great high places that are pumping out information every day to change your thinking. Paul is saying, I do not want you to be fashioned and conformed and molded to this world, but I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I could have had a belief and a thought and a value 20 years ago that my mind has been transformed today, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're living in the world. So what is the means of this transformation that Paul's talking about? If we're not going to be conformed to the world, and the world would like to change our mind, what is Paul saying that we need to look to be changed? The Word of God. The Word of God is what, if the world is the conforming side, what is the opposite of the world for the transforming side? If the Word of God is totally at enmity with the world and with the flesh, if the Word of God is at enmity and an opposite of the flesh, then it must be that the transformation must come with a renewing or a renovation or a filling up or a coming to completion, a completing of the process of my mind being transformed by the Word of God. If what I put in my mind every day is 18 hours of the world and 15 minutes of the Bible, what's going to happen? A conformity to the world. You know, I think about the transformer. You know, there's probably some right here in the building over here where this sound system is. There's a transformer there. There's a transformer to run that soundboard. There's a transformer to charge your telephone. There's a transformer out here hanging on the pole. I had to change it from 7200 down to 230. And every one of those, for those transformers to work, there must be a source of power. I can have a transformer, and we could set a transformer in here that would be so great and so powerful and so mighty that it would break through the floor. It was so heavy, and it would have no effect whatsoever unless it had power to it. So the power of transformation is the Word of God coupled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God coupled with the Holy Spirit can change us. So let's think about the word transform. To change after being with. To change after being with. So if we look in Matthew chapter number 17, Matthew chapter 17, what do we see there? We see that Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mount. They went up on the mount, and there was Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah. And the Bible says about him that he appeared with them. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What about Moses when he came off of the mount? Was Moses' face transfigured? Was Moses' face changed from being with? He had been with God and his face did shine. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, I believe you could say this, God was present. I realize he's God in the flesh, But I believe God was present on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there was Moses and Elijah, and there is Peter saying, let us build three temples, and God said, this is my son, hear ye him. I believe that transforming means this, to change after being with, to change a form in keeping with the inner reality. I believe that's really good right there. So we're going to be changed and transformed and changed into another being by that that is on the inside. So think about that. If Jesus Christ is in you, if Christ lives in you, you know what there should be? There should be a transforming going on. Every day of our life, there should be a transforming. Again, listen to that. Changing form in keeping with inner reality. Changing form in keeping with inner reality. If the heart has been changed, you know what's going to happen? The outward man is going to change his actions. And he's going to continue to change. There's an ongoing transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, Paul says this. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. For we all, with open face, beholding, we're understanding. What are we understanding? What are we taking in? Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do I need to fill my mind with? I need my mind changed by the Word of God. That you, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Were transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what's going on in a Christian's life? In a Christian's life, if we're genuinely saved, I tell you what's going on. By the working of the Holy Spirit and by us taking in the Word of God, by us exposing ourselves to the Word of God and that power of God on the inside of you and I, God is doing a work and He is transforming our lives. He is bringing us to more and more of a likeness of the inward reality. And what is the inward reality? Of the inward reality is God gave me a new heart. Of the inward reality is I've been born again. Of the inward reality is I've been born from above. The inward reality is Christ lives on the inside of me. And friend, through the transformation and not the conformity to the world, but the transformation by the renewing of my mind and by the work and the power of the Holy Ghost, you know what you and I should be doing? We should be becoming more and more Christ-like every day. Paul is begging us to do that. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your rational, spiritual service. Not what is reasonable, not what is in line or to be reasonable. Well, I believe it's reasonable to pay $40,000 for a vehicle. He's not talking about that kind of reasoning. He's talking about that you, realizing what God has done for you through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would reason in your mind that from this day, from the day that God saved me, I want not to conform to the world, but I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind with my exposure to the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to be more and more like the Lord Jesus every day. So that we are transformed. So be not conformed to this world, so to this age. You know something? Isn't it something that fits so good? The world to this age. What was in conformity 100 years ago in many of the outward things is not in conformity today, is it? But let me ask you this. In Christianity and in Christian living, no matter what the world looked like 100 years ago or today, is the inward workings and the life that should be lived, is it not the same 100 years ago or today? Don't be conformed to the age. Don't think that Christianity is being in line with the age. Christianity is unchanging in this sense, that the standard and the rule and the measurement does not change. And the power source does not change. And the transformation, those things that are necessary for the transformation have not changed. But we need the Word of God, the Holy Spirit working with the Word of God in the inner man to transform you and to make you into a person who has a living sacrifice, laid out the whole man, both body, soul, and spirit, laid out myself on the altar, not literally, but spiritually speaking, as a rational service, a spiritual service, because Jesus Christ died for me. By the mercy of God, I'm not going to hell. By the mercy of God, I have escaped the wrath to come. By the mercy of God, He has brought me from death unto life. By the mercy of God, I have been quickened. We were dead. We were only able to offer God a dead sacrifice. Isn't that true? But now you have been quickened. But now you have been saved. But now you have been changed. But now you are a new creature. Now you are a new creation. Now you are alive. And you can offer God something that's living and not dead. God's interested in it. I don't believe this would be out of order. I believe God's interested in a lively sacrifice. Lively. Not dead. Lively. One that is alive and longing and desiring and willing and with a want to live for God, to exalt the Lord, to praise His name for what He's done for us. He's not asking for a dead sacrifice. You know something? If your sacrifice had been took down by the dogs, if your sacrifice had a broke leg, if your sacrifice had parasites on the inside, it wouldn't be accepted with God. And certainly, if it was dead, you couldn't even eat it. You, not even you. If you found a dead animal, you didn't eat that. No. You know, you go to the slaughterhouse, you take a cow with a broke leg to the slaughterhouse. You could drive up in the parking lot and shoot a healthy cow, sheep, pig, lamb. You shoot it in the parking lot and take it into to the man to slaughter it. No, can't do that. I can't take it if it's dead. Got a broke leg, I can take it. But not dead. How about God? What about God? God won't take it with a broke leg. And God's certainly not going to take it dead. And listen, I am no longer dead. If you and I have had a part in the first resurrection, if we've been saved and born again, God is asking, we have been quickened. And there's nobody else, folks. There's nobody else can offer a living sacrifice except for the saved. Can you see that? We were dead in trespasses and sin. There was nothing we could offer to God. You see, if we offer anything to God, it has to come through our high priest, the Lord Jesus. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's talking to people that are saved, People that have understood and people that have come to the knowledge of what the Lord has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And just listen to a few words right here. Verse number 17. So are there people that are deceived? Are there people that are not really saved inside the visible body of the church? There are. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. These are wells without water. I mean, it looks like a place to get water. It's dry. They're clouds. They are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. He's talking about people. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure. You know what they're doing? They're drawing people. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. So you know, when you have a knowledge of the Word of God, I'm not saying salvation, I'm saying that we've come to a knowledge of what God expects. I'm saying that we've come to a knowledge that we need to be born again. We come to a knowledge that we need a transformation on the inside before the outside can be transformed. We'll get to this in just a minute. You just please stay with me. They promised them liberty, but they themselves are servants of corruption. I want you to notice verse 19 and verse number 20. The word corruption is used in verse 19. The word pollution is used in verse 20. Pollution, ladies and gentlemen, is on the outside. Corruption is on the inside. Now, he's going to talk about a work done here. Listen to A. Read this. I'll read through it. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions, outward now, this is outward, they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to the wallow in the mire. What's going on? Well, here is knowledge. And what's going to happen? We're going to do an outward transformation. And the honest to God truth is, we can only keep up with that a little while. We're trying to do better. And you know, we're going to have a revival. And we're going to whip everybody into shape. I tell you, it ain't whipping into shape that people need. It's salvation that people need. It's a desire and a love for the Word of God and a love for the God that saved him and an appreciation for the mercies of God. I tell you, that'd be a wonderful thing. But what's going on right here is there's been an escape from the pollution. But there has been no escape from the corruption. The sow has been prettied up and washed, and she looks really good. But on the inside, I mean, you've got her out of the mire. You've got her out of the field. You've got her out of the pen and out of the lot. You've got her out of the mud and out of the poop and out of the dung. You've got her out of there, and you've got her on some nice clean straw, washed and prettied up, and a bow tied around her neck. And I tell you what she is. She has escaped the pollution. But she is still corrupt on the inside. Many, many people in this world have had an outward change, but friend, they have never escaped the pollution. They escaped the corruption. There must be a change on the inside that will bring a lasting staying out of the hog pen. Does that sow not have to have a change of nature? Here's two animals. Here's a sow and a sheep. You will not see a sheep ever go in the mud and go in the water and go in the field and lay down and wallow. You'll have a hard time getting them into the water, period. They will avoid the mud. They will avoid the wallow. But the sow will love the wallow. The sow will love the mud. The sow loves to wallow in the mud. And until there is a change of nature, I tell you, there will be no change, a friend, in the outward man that will last. You may change for a day or two, and you may do better for a day or two, but I tell you, Paul's talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might live for God with a want to. Not a have to, not a whipped into it, but we might love the Lord and live for Him because of His mercy. If I fill my mind and I feel my eyes, and I feel my ears, and I feel my hands with the world, how much time, how much effort, how much transformation is going on if I am overwhelmed and overcome by this dark and dying world? How much time are you spending in the Word of God that your life might be transformed? It'll take the power of the Holy Ghost to change you. But let me tell you this. I can close that up and be a saved man and go to the world, and you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be conformed, Chris. It's exactly what I'm going to be. But when I fill my mind with the Word of God, I pray that God would change me. I pray that God would give me the right thinking. I pray that God would give me the right discernment. I pray that God would finish the process. The process, here's the process, folks, that I have been changed inwardly. But I still got a wrestling match day by day. I've got a wrestling match between that inward man and the outward man. There's a continual battle between those two. And if I continue to feed my flesh and fill my mind with the things of the world and with this age, I'm not going to be changed and transformed into the likeness of the Son of God. I'd like to read this definition one more time. So he says this: to change after being with, changing form in keeping with inner reality. You know, the sow, she couldn't change her inner reality, could she? Though she was scrubbed, though she was pretty, it's going to take an outside source to change you. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost to transform you into the inner reality. If you're genuinely saved, you try it. You try to double. You try this week to double your time in the Word of God and prayer and seeking after the Lord. And see if it does not make a difference. If you got 5 minutes, if you got 15 minutes, if you got an hour, see if you can get 2. See if you can get 10. See if you can get 30. See if you can pray and immerse yourself into the Word of God and see if it doesn't change you into that inner reality. See if it doesn't work on you and start changing you. Anything on your heart, anything on your mind, something you'd like to say? Without the inner work of God, I'll never ever be transformed. I may escape the pollution for a while, but I tell you what, the corruption will take me back to the pollution. You hear me? The corruption will take me back to the pollution.